What are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is your host, Tom. I'm here with Lotus, and Lotus is driving the ship on this one. I guess, can you drive a ship? I guess you drive a ship.
Yeah, you drive a ship.
Drive a boat. I don't know. Anyway, we're not talking about ships, though. We're talking about weapons across all the different games, and everybody's familiar with, like, axes and swords and arrows, but there's some weird weapons, too, that show up in only specific games, and some weapons like spears that people have been petitioning that they bring back for future Elder Scrolls games. And Lotus has done the research on this one. He's put this episode together. And so I'm going to hand this over to Lotus. Lotus, I'm excited for you to teach me some stuff about weapons that I may not have known.
Yeah. So like you kind of joked about, like, we're kind of inverting this. You always usually kind of like lead, and I'm like your more co-host type of thing. We'll do
the color commentator to my my play-by-play call guy or whatever.
And this wasn't solely my idea. We've actually had some people kind of throw out the idea of weapons and armor and types and stuff like that in the series. So it seems like, after all these years, we actually haven't done something like this.
No, it's not. I mean, it's something that comes up. Like, these things come up about, you know, every so often when you bring up a certain type of weapon,
right,
or a Daedric artifact, or like a certain type of armor you get in a certain game. But we haven't actually done it all together in one episode.
Yeah. So it would be, we figured it would be kind of fun to condense it down into one episode, discuss some of the different things, some of the different, skill trees that have kind of gone to the wayside that used to be there, and some that were condensed into others, which involve these type of weapons. Some of these weapons we actually never even get to use. They just are in the series and are super cool sometimes.
All right, so where do we start? Like, where do we go?
I was going to say, so we might as well just like jump right in out the gate with what I want to talk about. A couple of the weird ones that are listed on the UESP, which is, you know, friends of the show. There's some that are noted and some that I feel are worth noting that are more so in the lore, but not so much anything you interact with.
Okay. So weapons that show up in the world, but are not things you equip. Right.
Right.
And in any of the games in the series, like going all the way back to Arena, yes, Daggerfall, any of that stuff.
And that's just it. It's a lot of times they're alluded to. They add the flavor to the world rather than things that you use. And then we'll get into the stuff that you use in the various different games. But like, since you have the in handy,
the atlatl? Is that where we're starting?
Yeah, out of that. I've never pronounced that word.
I think it's atlatl here. I've got some pictures of some of these things I'll put up on the screen so people can see it. But an atlatl it's an interesting weapon. It's like a precursor to a bow, if I believe historically.
Kind of. And it's, again, one of those things. It's in the series. It's noted as part of the series. It's actually, I mean, it's done alphabetically on the Wikipedia, but it's kind of funny just because they make mention of orcish using it as like a sporting weapon in a lot of scenarios. It's a throwing device, and it like launches like darts or spears. Like you said, it's kind of like a precursor to a bow. Also similar in many ways to almost like a sling, but like with, you know, the story David and Goliath, you get the like little sling that you can chuck a rock with.
Right.
Well, okay, in this situation, you're chucking little mini spears. I feel like this would be a thing that you would regularly see with Reeklings.
Yes, right. That's kind of feels
really
like that.
Just
it's like a tribal
like,
weapon. It's yes. I've got a little animation on the screen of I don't know, this native person of some sort in a little cartoon throwing an atlatl. It's like you hold a piece of, I don't know, like a piece of wood that then notches into the end of another piece of wood so that you use the fulcrum of the end of the wood
to like fling
launch the other piece of wood, which acts kind of like an arrow.
Right. So it's like, again, it's almost like a little hybrid between other types of weaponry, but it's something kind of funny because it was first on the list where I was like, okay, this one I actually was not going to mention until I was doing research on this. I was like, okay, I didn't know this was in the series. And they make you a reference specifically that the orcish use it in traditional sport types. Same thing, similar to our Argonians, which is kind of neat, which again, a little more of the tribal groups in the series. So much along like what you said.
Yeah.
It makes sense that it's got like a tribal game aspect to it because you make do with what you got.
There you go. All right. Anything else about this one, or can we move on to the next one?
No. So the next one that I think is kind of cool to mention is the Garrot, which is something we were talking about how to pronounce that correctly before the show. But
yeah.
This is another thing you do not use in the series, but it's, I mean, it's really rudimentary. It's a piece of rope or a piece of twine or something rope-like that you strangle somebody with.
Anything you can put around somebody's neck and then tighten so that they can't breathe so that you can kill them.
Yes, it's pretty brutal, and very strong ties to the Morag Tong and the Dark Brotherhood. It's an assassination weapon. That's really all it is. It's borderline not a weapon. It's just a piece of something you can use as a weapon. So it's in the series.
Right.
You are not going around garrotting people. That's
it would be cool if you did, like in the next Elder like Scrolls game, thing? If instead of just like stealthing up to somebody and stabbing them in the back or doing some sort of stab animation, if you had a garrot, like maybe because you choke them out, they're more quiet. It's like stab would be slightly louder, but because they'll go, right? Because they get stabbed. But then if you were to like choke them, then they make less sound. That would be really cool.
And something worth kind of noting about that is the fact that other games have done that as like a stealth attack. Right. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that you could add this to the series, especially it's like, could it be like a Dark Brotherhood trait?
Yes.
Or something like that. Yeah, it's like a skill and it's just like completely silent insta-kill type of deal.
It's like something you have to learn from the Dark Brotherhood quest line. Right. And they give you your first garrot and then
they give you a half pound piece of rope and that's what you carry around, and as long as it's in your inventory you can do this stealth kill,
right? Or like I mean, in the Hitman series he has one, but I feel like it's a small device that fits in his hand that like it automatically winds up the
this metallic string
and it unravels, right?
Yes, it's got two little wooden like grippings, like they're just two little wooden dowels on the side,
right?
And in between, it's actually a piece of, I believe, it's like piano wire.
Yeah,
so
it's like a metal
extra savage
wire. Yeah, which obviously would like cut into your skin a little bit while you're being. Awful.
Ugh.
It's awful. It's an awful way to go. But it definitely would be cool in the series if they add this into a future game for sure.
And then there's, again, they have slings, which we kind of mentioned, and I kind of want to just reference because it's similar to the Adadle, because it's very rudimentary. You can use it in sports as much as anything else. Mm-hmm. And it's actually kind of funny because it's mentioned in reference to the Imperial Battle Mages and stuff like that with Battlespire, and them kind of screwing around with them as like a form of weaponry. Again, not really something you're using in the game, but it's pretty cool that they exist, and you can sling, you know, bladed things as well as just rocks or whatever. It's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, like
pretty
a
multi-purpose.
Shorter range. I mean, let's say you don't necessarily need a bow, but you want to like hit somebody with like a sling at like 10 feet away and like lodge a piece of, I don't know, glass in their eye or something.
Right. Anything you're using for incapacitating your opponents.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what would be really cool is if you had like little small vials that you put in the sling and you shot them at people and it would like poison them at a distance, or
that would be pretty
knock
cool.
them out or something like that. That could be
cool. Poisoning one of your arrows type of thing, but you could just launch the poison vial instead.
Right. You don't have to make special arrows. You just, when you were crafting, you craft vials of poison and then you can put them in the sling
it
and
so
you,
that it
in there,
breaks against somebody. Break.
Yeah, that would be really cool. It'd be like an alchemy / ranged kind of thing. That would be cool.
For sure. Which, again, you can kind of tie this into like pretty much any type of throwing weapon, which are a little different. You get shuriken, stuff like that. They're a similar thing of these little projectiles. We're not going to dwell too much on that. Mm-hmm. But the next one that I wanted to mention, because I feel like there's potential that this could be in the series, and it hasn't been, is whips.
Whips would be cool.
Like, there's sort of tight, like Elder Scrolls Online has that like dragon flame whip thing for the Dragon Knight, but it's not a literal whip itself.
It's an ability. It's not a weapon you hold.
But like whips, I feel like are a cool like cool potential. And the reason I specifically wanted to mention whips in general is the fact that Bethesda as well, granted it was machine games, but Bethesda, with the great success of the Indiana Jones game that came out, had a very fun whip mechanic. So it would be interesting if that were ever utilized in The Elder Scrolls, because it's setting appropriate and it would add a little more to the variety of the different weapon types. I feel like there's some potential there that could really cross over, especially with how fun that was.
Yeah. So in Indiana Jones, you can use it to like latch onto something and swing and stuff, which is silly because it doesn't, a whip doesn't actually do that in
that's
real
not
life.
How that works.
But it's fun. It's imaginary. But I could imagine a situation where, like, let's say you're playing the new game and you're early on in the game and you get attacked by a pack of wolves. And so you whip them and then it causes them to flee, right? It doesn't kill them. It causes them to flee. Or you're in like a, let's say you're in a dungeon environment and there's a bunch of spiders and maybe some bandits. You whip the spiders and the spiders stop attacking you and attack the bandits because now they're afraid of you. So because
a
whips
like
traditionally
a fear effect to go with it.
Yeah. Like whips traditionally have been used. I'm sure somebody out there knows a lot more about whips than I do, but oftentimes
sure
you would use them to like
all of these real world equivalents.
Right.
Than we do.
But you use them to like wrangle cattle or whatever. Right. And it's not usually the impact of the whip so much as it is the sound that spooks the animals and causes them to turn and move in a different direction. So it would work like a fear effect. Now you could still hit your enemies with it, but it would have kind of a secondary utility for creatures in the environment, which would be really cool.
Yeah, that's actually, I kind of like that as like a built-in fear effect or something to go along with damage.
Barky T in chat says Dunmer whip does additional damage
just
to Argonians.
With a sad
no.
face.
Oh, and no.
And I was going to say, it's, I feel like that's not totally
I mean, it's lore accurate, so yeah.
That's what I mean. No. I was like, it's lore accurate. I was going to say, oof, have some type of a weakness to whip or theoretically, I guess they could have a resistance to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because they're so used to it.
They're,
that
so
they're
used
not
to
afraid
it,
of it.
Cast the fear effect because they're just like, screw you.
Yeah. They're like, whatever. My master's done worse.
Yeah. Like, so okay. I'm over this.
Yeah.
Man.
So, okay. Yeah. But, I like the whip as an idea because it seems to have a utility that you could use in other ways.
Yeah.
So
you
cool.
could add an effect to it besides just doing some degree of damage, because also the idea of whips in general, when you ever see somebody with actual skill in using a whip, it is a terrifying weapon. Like that.
Oh,
would,
it's weird. It like
it's
to be
weird
with,
how
within
damaging
range,
something like that could be.
And just even like, obviously we are not cattle, but even as a human being standing within few feet of like somebody with a whip, there's that feeling of like, I'm not safe within 30 feet of you.
No, it sounds painful being near
right.
it too.
Right, absolutely.
It's a very unique sound. But yeah, that's another one in the series. And then the one that I really wanted to bring up specifically is the Daedric Crescent, or the Crescent as a weapon. The best example of this is the cover of the game, the Elder Scrolls Legends Battlespire.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have the Seducer. Yeah, I was going to say, I figure, well, it's very memorable. If some of my chats, if anybody's in them in like my game chats or whatever, like a lot of times I use that as my background for like the chat image or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's one of the Seducers. So you've got the wings extended on the creepy green sun background.
Yeah.
And she's holding a crescent, which the Daedric Crescent specifically, I think this is such a cool weapon, one I wish you could physically use. But it's essentially like two curved blades with a handle in the middle.
Right, right. Yeah, which makes me think of in World of Warcraft, when you're like Demon Hunter, you have weapons that are kind of like that. Or in Star Trek, the Klingons, don't they have like a crescent-like weapons? But the blades,
maybe you, now
the blades
you
don't
say
go
it,
forward,
I don't
they
know
go backwards.
So I was thinking Star Wars, with Darth Maul, if it was curved instead of straight.
Right. Yeah. Similar kind of thing. Handle in the middle, blades that come off the ends, and it makes more sense for them to go forward towards your enemies. But in some designs, they go backwards because they look cooler.
Backwards.
Like
which
that.
You could use it in a defensive stance backwards, I would assume.
I would imagine.
Because then you would shirk it off you.
Right.
As opposed to trying to clip it going into them. So I could see flipping it directionally Again, I'm hardly an expert on this, but I could see you using that to deflect blows if it's rounding it around your body, because then it would kind of curve away from you type of deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And if anybody out there, I know we have a sizable audience that listens and watches these episodes. If any of you have any insight into this and you want to comment or jump on our Discord and tell us anything that we don't know about how these weapons work, because we're not weapons
Expertise facts you might know. I actually do find this stuff very interesting. I'm just not that skilled with it.
Right. Yeah, me too. So if you want to educate us on any details about these kinds of weapons that we don't know, then please feel free to share. But yeah, that would be cool to like use it both either defensively or flip it around and like be able to
offensively.
Like,
type it. But either way, that's another one that I think it looks awesome. It's really only had prominence in the Elder Scrolls Battlespire, and it was an attachable item in the Elder Scrolls Legends. It was a card you could actually put on to another thing, and it did increasing damage every time it like killed something.
Oh, cool.
So, but love that thing. So, honorable mention for that one specifically. But then we can now get into some of the common things that people use, but we're going to start with the thing that I joke about all the time, which is pole arms, specifically spears, which...
Yeah, spears.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that spears not only are in the series, but you used to have a skill line related to them.
Yeah, okay, so what game was that?
Morrowind. You had your spear skill line, and you don't anymore, and it hurts me.
Yeah. So as we've discussed in the past, you are the guy who has a lot more experience in these older games than I am. Morrowind's one of those games where I've talked about before. I kind of bounced off it pretty early on, then never really got that far in. So I didn't get to a point where I tried the spears. But
yeah.
Were they effective? Were they fun to use? I know the combat in Morrowind is a little floaty.
A little jank.
It's a little janky.
It's much more simplistic than the newer games.
But
it was pretty simple, but I think spears are, other than being like probably one of the most common weapons in existence, they just seem really cool. There's a bit of a spear style in Elder Scrolls Online, but it's not a traditional spear. Like, some of your skills kind of form a spear, but it's not the same thing.
Like the javelins, they're like, kind of spear-like. But
spears, it's just the range on them is very good. They have just a lot of practicality. And I wish they would bring it back into the repertoire as like a skill line, because some of these things, like I said, the skill lines were much broader before. Long swords, short swords, blunt weapons, bladed weapons. Like they've shifted how they categorize them from game to game.
Right.
But I would love to see a return of spears in general. Also have a note on the USP about tridents and different types of spears. It's really just skins. Ironically, the trident skin, like tridents exist in the world, but the trident is actually a staff skin.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's not even a spear skin.
You're right. When you think staff, you think of something that is more similar to a walking stick that also has magical properties or magic focusing properties.
Correct.
When you think of pole arms, you think of weapons with variations on their end that do some sort of bladed damage.
Yes.
Or even non-bladed damage. Sometimes you just use a pole arm because it's just a big long stick, or maybe it has a bulb at the end so there's variations. Like a trident would be like a spear with multiple prongs. One of the most effective weapons during like the medieval and Renaissance period were halberds, which are basically spears with a spear at the top, but then an axe blade also attached to it. Right. So they're all variations on pole arms, which, like you said, are some of both the earliest weapons that humans were able to make using stone tools and wood, but then also some of the most effective and popularly used weapons up until about, the modern period. So yeah, it's crazy that they're just not, swords are cool, right? Everybody loves a sword. Everybody loves a really cool axe or hammer, but like spears, where are they? Right.
Right. Exactly. So that's just it. It's sort of as a thing that we don't see much anymore. but I would love the return. Kind of bouncing off that aspect in general, we can just talk about like What? There are Warhammers, like that we're staying on that, but more with an emphasis on the heavy, blunt end of the situation. That
the blunt
Warhammers,
end of the situation.
Yeah, blunt end of the situation.
That sounds like a an album name. Right? Like we're Bloody Warhammer album, the blunt end of
blunt
the situation.
End of the situation. But yeah, so we've got those, and then, you know, that's, you can also, like you had said, halberds, they have battle axes, stuff like that. Those are, you know, other variants of, I want to almost say pole arms, but it's a mixed, it's kind of like a mix of the scenario. And we have, we do still have warhammers and battle axes.
I guess
and stuff
theoretically,
like that.
A hammer or an axe are just a stick with something at the end.
Right.
But
and that's why I'm,
they're not
but
used
not,
the way a pole arm, like a
correct.
Spear
that's what
is
I was going to say. That's
right?
A key difference. You're not right. Using it the same way. And that stayed in the series right. At the moment. That's right. Still a lingering feature.
I have a feeling that there's a history of the way fantasy stories and games have used weapons that plays into why certain weapons get chosen. And it's because there's kind of this history of like standardization, right? Like we've discussed multiple times, Elder Scrolls goes back to Dungeons and Dragons, which goes back to Lord of the Rings. When you think of the weapons from the Lord of the Rings, you have swords, you have axes, Gimli and his axes, right? You've got bows, you've got Legolas, you've got like those are the kinds of daggers, knives, sting, a short blade. You have a lot of these kinds of weapons that show up that are still prominent in the series, probably because those weapons were popularized in fantasy going all the way back to J.R.R. Tolkien. So, yeah. But like thinking through it, I can't think, you know, I do the Lord of the Rings lore cast. I can't think of many times that spears are brought up outside of a marching army with their spears and arrows or something like that. But you don't see like a heroic mainline character use a spear very often.
Yeah, that's kind of true, which is interesting.
Yeah, I think that lends into it because part of the fantasy of being able to play a game is to put yourself in that game as if you are a heroic character or terrible evil villain character or whatever, right? And so when you're running around as a wood elf, you're being Legolas with your bow, right? A lot of people do that. That's a popular kind of build. Or you're using a big hammer or a big axe, or you're using a sword like a valiant knight or, you know, something like that. So I have a feeling that's why those are in the series more than spears, is because they're just more popular when it comes to fantasy literature and the history of games.
Right. So that very well could be the reason for it. And then on the other side of the spectrum, instead of taking these long sticks and smashing people with them in various ways, you can enchant them, which is where we get to staffs in the series, which is staves are like a thing. Like throughout the series, a lot of heavy emphasis on magic. They come with their own stuff built into them enchantment wise, or you can kind of, in some of the games, it's more of just like a conduit for like, here's the thing and I can just cast any spell. Whereas other games, it's got something built into it. Like it has an effect on it.
Right. Like in Skyrim, you can give your companions a staff of lightning or something and they'll be able to shoot lightning.
And that's what that staff does.
Right.
Or, you know, the one with the Everscamp.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Very practical.
They're like enchanted weapons that have some sort of ability to cast their one spell. Regularly.
Then you also have things where they're a little more broad. Again, we'll go with the Elder Scrolls Online for an example, where it's just kind of the staff gives you your damage increase to calculate your spells, and then you pick your spells, and it is the conduit to determine how much damage you do with your spells, but it's not generally tethered too much for what is cast out of the staff itself, if that makes sense.
Which is more accurate to the traditions of fantasy. A staff or a wand, even in Harry Potter, the wand is the thing that focuses the power of the wizard in a direction. Gandalf's staff isn't magical in the fact that like it can cast a fireball because it is enchanted with fireball spell, right? It is more of a conduit, a focusing product. And that actually matches up in his history as well. I like to throw in some historical stuff here. Did you know that some of the earliest depictions of Jesus show him with a wand?
Oh, weird.
Yeah, super weird. Early images of Jesus. He's holding a wand. He has a stick in his hand. And traditionally that was seen as a device of magicians, people who do miraculous things. There's a very long tradition there for stuff. Also, Barky in chat mentioned spears are the weapons of the everyday man. Swords are of trained and noble people. So yeah, that plays into that idea too. Would you rather role play just Joe Schmo who happened to pick up his spear because, you know, somebody raised the banners and you got to go to war? Or would you rather be, you know, the noble heroic knight? I think more people, yes, everybody likes to role play different things, but more traditionally people want to be the more heroic knight character. So
also something else Barky brought up, and I actually missed it a little earlier, asking if there had ever been full circle blades. Like, I don't know the character from Soul Calibur, but I do know what they're talking about, referring to like chakrams. And there's actually no specific reference that I saw to chakrams in this series, but I totally know what you're talking about with those. Pretty cool weapon. I know about them from this weird series called Dynasty Warriors, if anybody knows what Dynasty that Wars. Is.
Yeah, yeah. Where you leveled hundreds of people at a time.
Extinguish the continent.
right. And then you watch a lot of cutscenes. I remember, I think I got, back when I got my PlayStation 2?
One of the games. Came out, Dynasty Warriors 2 and Kessen were the two games I got with my PS2 because like,
yeah, I bought a used one at GameStop because I was poor. And then they were like, hey, you'll throw in an extra game for like whatever the discount was. And I was like, all right, let me try Dynasty Warriors, whatever.
Super fun, brainless fun. If you just want to like hack and slash.
Well, it lasted like a week and they had like a return policy. And I brought it back and the guy was like, not into it. You know, like I traded out for like, I don't remember what it was. Like,
I mean, it's the same thing 1,000 times.
Right. And I was like, it also had a lot of whatever that actual version of the game was, whatever number that was, had a lot of cutscenes in it also. And I was like,
yes.
Yeah, I spent a lot more time watching the game than actually playing it. I think I'd rather have a game I can play. And then I picked That's up awesome. Like Cool Borders or something instead. Nice. I don't remember what it was. Yeah. So more traditional weapons. Are there any others on your traditional weapon list that you want to cover?
So on the traditional weapons, I mean, most people are aware there are one-handed and two-handed swords of varying degrees. Mm-hmm.
And those are across the entire series.
That's been a common thing in the series. And why I kind of want to reference, it's like sometimes it's looking for short blades, long blades. Sometimes it's one-handed, two-handed, but then they get rid of the blade aspect. It's why this is kind of all lumped together here, where it's like you have tantos and katanas and daikatanas and all these varied daggers and all these different variations of
straight
blades.
Swords and
swords, exactly.
Zweihanders or whatever those are.
Exactly. That. So like, yeah. There's a huge swath of swords, and it would just turn into us listing all of these kind of more common weapons that we're going to get into at this point. But like, there's the swords, which also get put into the blade category. In some games, kind of depends on the game. Like sometimes there's long hand, you know, and then there's the blunt in other hands, you know, blunt weapons in some games. And other times it's one-handed, two-handed again. So it's like they even trade categories where all these are, because there's axes, swords, hammers. All of these things are kind of just, I don't want to say interchangeable, but most people will know what these items are, and they kind of have their variants, which changes per game and how they're categorized, almost like how the game feels you should group them for play style.
So an example would be in Oblivion, you have bladed and blunt, right?
Right.
But in Skyrim, you have swords, you have things that upgrade your swords, you have things that upgrade axes, you have things that upgrade hammers.
You'll end up with like the one-handed and two-handed is the thing.
Right,
you'll
and then also, one-handed and two-handed, right.
Right, so
and
it's
then
like
daggers
you get
is
these,
its own category too.
But then daggers, it's so like there's categories and subcategories of all these different type of weapons, but your standard fare of swords, daggers, and all the different types are there in the series. They're the things you use more than anything else. And there's also the enchanted variants or... You know, you have like Dawnbringer, for example.
Daedric it's weapons, like all that stuff.
Daedric versions of them.
If you want to know more about this, they'll go, if you haven't listened to our Daedric Prince episodes, go back and listen to those.
That's where we get into all of those.
Right. We talk about the Prince. We talk about their weapons and how their weapons show up in different games, their artifacts, like all that stuff. So we're not going to go back over all of that.
No, that was several shows in and of itself.
Yeah, right. So, but yeah, there's a lot of variation across those, and they tend to have even more intricate designs, or some of them even kind of break the mold of what I'm thinking, like Molag Bal's hammer.
The mace, but
it's spiky, right? Because maces can be spiky, even though they're blunt weapons. They're kind of in between being sharp and blunt at the same time.
And then it's sort of like, but you know, maces can also have points, and then like. For example, one of the ones that's on the thing, and you're definitely more of the older series. I used one in Arena. You'll have flails.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Flails. Which is just basically a spiky ball on the end of a chain with a pole. But it's like, okay, well, that's sort of like another in-between thing. Not something still in the series
or
anymore.
Morningstars. Morningstars would be Morningstars. Like that mixed with like a whip.
Correct. So it's like,
are there any Morningstars in any of the games? I'm not sure there are.
I think there was an Arena.
An Arena had Morningstars. We'll have to look this up. I'm gonna Google this while you
Google
continue
that
talking.
In the background, because I feel Morningstar, like I had Morningstar Arena.
Like
in Arena.
I didn't even think to ask this question when we were like working on the topic.
Morningstars are cool.
Morningstar. Okay, you keep going. So, are there any other weapons that like Daedric princes have that are really distinct from most of the regular
stuff? And
that's
just it. A lot of them are very creative takes with their enchanted and really detailed version of something you would recognize.
Yeah,
you
I'm know, getting nothing when I Google Morningstar Elder Scrolls Arena.
Then. Maybe I'm just thinking of a mace.
It might. Yeah.
I might have just been thinking of a mace then.
Maybe, yeah. Like nothing. Yeah, maces come up.
Yeah, but it's going to be a mace that I was
come
thinking
up
of
at all.
With all those pixels, sometimes it can be hard to tell.
Yes, that's true. It's true. Lots of pixels. Also, thinking way back to dabbling in Arena. It's not like Skyrim where like every so often you're like, I'm booted back up and loaded some mods and play a game.
I did that for a playthrough for everybody's enjoyment, and we won't be playing Arena anytime soon.
Right.
But yeah, so that's, I feel like that, covers a lot.
And Hersine's correcting us here. The Morningstar is the spiked ball mace. It doesn't have a chain on it.
I was going to say. So, and that's why I'm like, I might just be thinking of a mace in Siri, like in Arena, but they might have had one that looked like it had spikes on it.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. But anyway, there's different variations on like where you put the spiky ball, where if maybe their spikies are not.
Is it on a chain?
Is it on the pole itself? Right. It just makes sense. There's just these simple variations, but they get names. Yeah.
We'd be remiss to not bring up, it's been longstanding in the series, but, I would argue everybody's favorite even had that video on it where everybody's a stealth archer.
Yeah, which I was surprised to find out was not the most popular choice.
No, it is not. Even though everyone jokes about it. Yeah. It's just the most memed choice.
I think my conclusion in that episode was that there's a general pull towards the benefits. It tends to be a more beneficial weapon to use in Skyrim. It's kind of like easy mode in a lot of ways.
I was about to say, the thing is, it is very, very skewed balance-wise to just out the gate being over the top powerful.
The gravitational pull of Skyrim is towards the bow, whereas it is not in Oblivion. The gravitational pull is like sword and spell.
Well, the fact that arrows, which we can get into right now. So like, bow and arrow is a pretty common thing throughout the series. And what's interesting is in the older games, arrows had weight to them.
Mm-hmm. Not just like that they would like fly in an arc but
not like the physics weight.
In your inventory.
They would literally take up inventory weight, which I did not remember was so aggressive in Oblivion till I've been playing the remaster.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the arrows, specifically the Dremora arrows, they're like 2 pounds an arrow. And I'm like, bro, what is this arrow made out of?
Yeah, seriously.
Good Lord.
Right. Yeah. Can you imagine trying to shoot an arrow out of a bow that weighs 2 pounds?
2 pounds?
And it goes
it's like firing a hand weight at somebody.
Right. It goes all of like 4 feet and then just hits the ground. Yeah. Ugh.
But
yeah, that's one of the jokes then, about weapons across Elder Scrolls in general, is that even in Skyrim, the weights are just totally up. The weapons are just way too much. Like, there's no way you're swinging a 12-pound sword at somebody and being able to keep up.
Most people don't realize what the weights of some of these things are.
Right, they're supposed to be very light so that you can you don't get worn out, so that you don't wear yourself out when you're fighting him. Because if you can only swing it 10 times before, you're just like I just had a workout. I mean, think about it. If you pick up, I'm pretty regular dude, you're pretty regular dude. If you pick up a 20-pound weight at the gym, how many times could you actually like move it in a swing motion before you'd be out of breath and had to put it down?
That's just it. So one of the things, like outside nerdy stuff, I love going to the gym and thinking of doing like a lot of that stuff. And I'm like, dude, if I'm doing that for 20 reps, and it's like a 20,
even a 5-pound weight, how many reps? Like how many reps could you move in this kind of motion,
like,
with a 5-pound weight, so you have to put it down.
Sometimes, and that's just it. It's like when I'm doing stuff, and it's like you're doing stuff for reps, and I'm like, dude, this is me like intentionally doing, you know, okay, I'm in my 12 to 15 rep range here type of deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not a sword fight. That's
you need to be
really
able to
brief skirmish, just getting into a fight.
Right.
You need me to do that for 2, 3, 5 minutes straight.
Right. Or an hour, because you're on a battlefield surrounded by the enemy, like, and you're going to have to swing your blade 300 times. There's no
correct,
way.
Because then it's like, it's not a 1v1. It's like, absolutely no.
No, that weapon needs to be barely heavier than your arm so that you can keep moving it.
Yes.
Right. So,
So there is, so there's, you know, your tradition, back to our very heavy arrows, there's traditional bows, which have been around since pretty much the very beginning, there's always been the assassin sneaky class. And then in Skyrim specifically, you have that expansion that brought crossbows with Dawnguard.
That's true. Yeah, crossbows were added in. And crossbows, were a very traditionally common weapon, especially in, you know, medieval warfare. They were very effective because, especially at short range, the amount of pressure you could apply to the bolt was enough to pierce through armor.
So they gave them a lot of damage, but counterpoint to that is they are very slow to load back up to fire again.
Right.
So you need to make your shots count.
Like a longbow, you can shoot more quickly, but it's also a very large bow that can travel long distances and
correct.
Is better for,
it's,
you know,
also
a volley.
Based on the strength of you continuing to fire it, as
that's
opposed to an automated mechanism where it's coming out at the same force every time.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. That was a cool addition, crossbows to Skyrim.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. And then I had to end this and kind of bridge the gap is I just figured it's worth noting that there are a plethora of shields throughout the series, which not necessarily what I would consider a weapon, although you can use shields as weapons, which is why I wanted to include them. Generally, they're considered part of your defense, but at the same time, they are equipped in your hands as like a weapon slot, because in some of the games, you will unlock perks that also allow it to combat back and knock your opponent's weapons out of their hands, and it does damage and stuff like that. So it's not your stereotypical weapon, but it's almost like a hybrid between what you're wearing to keep yourself alive and also a good way to smash somebody in the face and get them off you too, or maybe disarm them. So
So shields, again, another very traditional thing. There's no surprise that those are across the series, because you have to protect yourself. If you're going to be facing down a foe with a big, sharp, pointy thing, then you need some way of making sure that if you get hit with a big point, you know, sharp pointy thing, that you take as little damage as possible, right?
Exactly.
It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No. This is a place that has high quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one of a kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons. And it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
So that kind of covers those. Did we want to?
What about?
I was going to say.
I have another one.
Oh, what? Okay. What do you have for another
what
one?
What about throwing weapons? What about?
So. There are, and it's kind of funny you mentioned that, because like it's sort of almost like, I didn't know if you wanted to separate them specifically from like, you can throw shurikens and, and you know, throwing knives. There are different things. And a lot of ways it's like, instead of using the sling or the first thing we mentioned that I keep forgetting its name of... starts with an A.
Atlatl.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Never going to remember that.
Yeah.
As opposed to having an instrument do the flinging of the object for you, your hand is perfectly useful, which is great for throwing stars.
Yeah.
You know,
that's one thing I don't know as much about the history about is throwing stars, because I feel like that is something that in pop culture we connect to ninjas and the throwing star. And
sure.
Like, but how effective would that really be? I mean, yeah, you don't want to get cut open. And if you have like a 2-inch, you know, thing lodged in your chest, that's not good. But at the same time, I mean, you're not stabbing somebody through, and also like how much pressure do you have to put behind something like that for it to really, and how far is that even effective? It just seems
a
little odd.
Obviously, if anybody has any more knowledge of this, they can definitely correct us type of thing. But I would assume as long as you learn the proper technique to throwing it, you could probably do some pretty decent damage with them.
Yeah. Especially if you hit a specific place, like someone's neck.
Sure.
Right.
But like thinking, have you ever been axe throwing?
No, I haven't. It sounds fun. Yeah.
So I've been a couple times, and it's like, it's funny that when you think about it, you do need to sort of get a hang of it, I guess to say, because you can't just shock it like a lunatic. Because
right, there's a technique.
If you don't hit the bladed part into your target, it just bounces off, and then it's like throwing a stick at somebody, and it's like, ow, that hurt.
Right.
What's the matter with you?
Hit me with a heavy stick. Ouch. Yeah.
Right. As opposed to the bladed end going into the person. Actually, I was going to say, Hirsin mentioned doing axe throwing a couple times. The other thing that it reminds me of, I don't know if you or anybody in chat or whatever has ever done any of those like Spartan races or any of that stuff.
No, not this guy.
One of the events we do at Spartan Fenway, because I actually kind of like doing those, like the 5K obstacle course things. The Spartan one's a tad more sadistic, I feel like, than some of the other ones. But there is actually one where they have a giant wall of bales of hay, and you actually grab a throwing spear and you have to chuck it and get it to stick in, or you're punished by having to do burpees.
Nice. Okay.
So, and it's one of those things where it's like to get the distance out of the spear and still have it straight is trickier than it's, you can't just hurl it like a lunatic, because then it'll go sideways, it'll flop into the ground and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So there's a technique to it that I would imagine throwing stars or shurikens
or even throwing a knife, something as simple as a knife. Yeah.
It's got a technique to it where I'm sure they could be super effective if you're good with it, but I could also see somebody just grabbing it and being like, yeah, and just hitting somebody with the handle and then immediately being slain because they didn't do any actual damage to their opponent.
Yeah. Like that's the tricky part about throwing weapons is you throw away your weapon. And if you don't make good use of it, now you're not holding it. Like, hopefully you have something else, you know, it would be one thing like,
you're gonna want,
I've still got my sword
backup
in my hand, and then I've got like a throwing dagger, and now I've still got my sword, so I'm good.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Also, I appreciate Hirsin bringing up the fact that we need lawn darts, because that is probably the most ridiculous like toy. Just like,
yeah,
giant
you could
spikes.
Right. Well, and speaking of, but darts are, you can weaponize darts, especially if you've,
you
like
totally
poison
can
tip them, you know,
yep,
and like,
very similar with a dart,
or like a blow dart gun, like a you know, like that could be a thing. I hadn't thought about that. Okay.
Totally could fit.
I feel like there's also room in Elder Scrolls games to incorporate explosives a little bit. Not like in the sense of like guns or cannons, but or even dynamite, right? Like that's a much more modern invention.
Yeah, that would be modern along the lines of, because there's not really a lot of emphasis on gunpowder. There's explodey things in the series, but not in terms of traditional gunpowder necessarily. Right.
But you would imagine with cultures like the Dwemer being able to make automatons, that you could invent something like gunpowder and put it into a pouch that you light on fire and lob at an enemy or something, you know, like a little, I don't want somebody being like, I'm going to shoot my mini nuke like in Fallout. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just small explosions, and maybe even the damage isn't so much in the explosion as it is in the shock of it or the cloud of smoke it makes in order to, you know, Batman yourself out of a situation or something like that. It kind of goes hand in hand with the idea of using alchemy and then using a sling, like we talked about earlier, to fling potions. You could maybe fling explosives that would have other effects, or could potentially incapacitate somebody, knock them out, blind them, deafen them, so that now, like, maybe you deafen a room before you sneak through and then nobody can find you because you're so quiet, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. And it's like, and that's just it. Some of these things, I actually forgot Hirsing brought up the fact that it's like Morrowind was the last one that I think had darts. I don't think it's been in any of them since then. But again, this is one of those things. It's just like, I don't necessarily.
A jar of bees. Midlife says, throw a jar of bees. Not the bees. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could get those bees in a jar. Why can't you just smash it? Throw the bees at people. Like, it's perfect.
Yeah, you go to little honey trees and like just collect a bunch of bees, stick them in a jar, and then throw them at your enemies, and they get all angry.
That was the secret to the jar symbols all along. You just throw it at people.
That somebody needs to mod that into Skyrim, like tomorrow. Is when you go get the honeycomb, you can also collect bees, put them in a jar, and then throw them at your enemies. I like that.
But it's why, like, you know, I feel that some people refer to the series as dumbing these things down. Some of them, I always kind of tend to think of it as like they streamline stuff. But I feel like giving this extra variety of weapons, even if they act a lot of ways similar to each other, adds a flair that helps a lot craft the world. And even if they act similar, gives that variety visually so it feels different. And something I really wish that I hope in the next iteration, it's fine if we keep things confined, like bladed or blunt, that's fine. But bring these other bladed weapons in. Bring these other blunt weapons in. Throwing weapon could be a thing if you really wanted, or keep it with unarmed. Maybe have it be like, oh, if I'm unarmed, I'm good with my fists. I'm also good with throwing weapons. Like, you could make a category. I'm good with slings, because you could group them in interesting ways to have more than just a couple.
The other category.
The other category. Exactly.
Or you could go down the path of being like a weapons expert. And so now you have capabilities with things beyond common weapons.
That's like an
old D&D thing, is like everybody can figure out how to pick up a spear and stab a thing. But if you're going to use very like a katana, that takes training, but also so would a sling, right? Like, it would have to be in this category of like, you really got to work at this a little bit in order to make it useful.
Yeah. So I would just love to see a few more of these, not only just the uncommon things that like sometimes you've never even used. Like I've mentioned my affinity toward like the Daedric Crescent type of thing. Okay, cool. We've never really used something like that in the series, but that would be cool. But even just like bringing back tantos and daikatanas and stuff like that instead of just dagger, sword,
long sword. Well, one of the first things I generally mod into my games are more diversity of weapons. And oftentimes it's like if a mod goes as far as to incorporate a different move set and some really complex features, that's really cool. But to me, it's just kind of nice to see more designs show up, you know, to open a chest and be like, ooh, this weapon has the same stats as the weapon I'm already using, but it looks different and kind of cool in a cool way.
Right.
Like the fiction, it's just like being able to customize your character. Why is it necessary? You know, why do people want 50 different hairstyles? It's because it gives you more options to kind of live in this world and be somebody different. So yeah, why would I want the same looking steel sword every playthrough? I don't. It would be really cool to have some that were designed a little bit more in the style of Bretons, or a little bit more in the style of, you know, you know, whatever, Bosmer, you know, and Elder Scrolls Online does a lot of this. There's a lot more diversity through that
style variety to the same type of weapon.
Right.
Whereas opposed to, you know, the single player games, it's mostly based on what the weapon itself is made of. And they each kind of align to different, like if you have an elven dagger, okay, cool, it's made of moonstone, it's made of these things that it's like, well, yes, and then it has the elven traits, but theoretically, you could take an, I mean, you could use moonstone and make it look, like, it doesn't have to look elven.
Right.
you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that is technically possible when you think about it. It's just, that's not really how the single player games are done.
Right. Right. I think Hersine has the best idea here. He says, when we're joking about the bees,
that idea.
Hersine says an evolution of the spiders you can throw, which would be cool. But then it grows even further. The final perk for the throw skill would let you just hurl enemies at each other. Can you imagine if you had like a really high strength build plus throwing weapons maxed out, and then you could just like pick up a bear and throw it at somebody?
I love that.
That's like, that's end game. I want that's another mod. Modders, if you're listening to this, I want to be able to pick up bears and throw them at my enemies.
So the reason also that I find that to be like an awesome idea, and I mean, I guess it's more of the product of the time when you could, like the Havoc engine back with, you know, on the Xbox 360 era, which is just why I mentioned it, because that's where I played Oblivion and Skyrim originally, was you could grab the bodies and swing them around like a lunatic type of thing. And it was just physics, which is
yes. Oh, I love weird physics.
If you did that and like could throw it and it would do damage at people, and it's just ragdoll nonsense everywhere. Right.
And then the bear's really angry when it lands and it just mauls everybody.
Right.
In front
of
him.
I was going to say, if it doesn't do lethal damage, it does whatever damage and then gets up and mauls whoever or comes at you because it's annoyed, like whatever. That's just such a funny idea.
Yeah. Get out of my face, troll. Throw them at your enemy. Go eat those bandits. Blah.
You know what? The only one, because I was going to say, I figured we were done, but you know what? We'll throw one more in to end it. Scrolls are actually like, I almost want to say they're weapons of a type.
They're items.
I
mean, they're kind of like,
it's one of those sort of in between things.
It's kind of like having a staff that's single use.
I was going to say, it's just a paper staff.
Paper staff. Yeah.
It's a paper staff, but very similar. It's just like a magical conduit type of deal. So I figured we'd be remiss if we actually didn't mention that. That actually wasn't even listed with weapons, but it's just kind of thinking that it's kind of funny that something as simple as paper in the right hands in the series is actually like a form of weaponry, which is kind of neat.
That's true. A scroll only playthrough is something that's pretty common among YouTubers to be able to be like,
so perfect.
Can you play the game?
There you go.
Only using scrolls to fight your enemies. And you have to find a way to make a lot of money to then collect a bunch of scrolls and get to places where you can find more scrolls. So it's very difficult, especially because they're single use. And then you have to get really creative because they're different kinds of spells. So you can't just be like, oh, I'm just going to find a bunch of fireballs. Scrolls, like you just get what you get. So sometimes you have to like confuse them and get them to fight each other, or you know, whatever other abilities. And I feel like that's one of the brilliant parts of these games is the flexibility to approach them in non-optimal ways, to be able to go, I'm just going to like control my enemies' minds and have them kill each other, is viable if you really lean into that, you know?
Yeah. Well, also one of my favorite things from that I ever got to watch Ark do, my co-host from Tales of Tamriel, was Arkanir, actually, when he was playing through Morrowind, his goal was to use the Scroll of Icarian Flight, that thing that's the like turbo meme of everybody's just like the guy, the high elf just plunges from the sky and goes splat in front of you. And he used that. And generally, if you use it, it launches you into the sky, and then wherever you land, you explode. So it's kind of like a joke spell.
Right.
But he used it to actually track his trajectory and land in the waterway of Balmora to skip having to walk.
Oh,
there.
That's great. That's great. They just kind
it
of
took him
catapult.
Quite a few tries, but he kept trying to calculate how close it, and he actually managed to land in it eventually.
That's amazing. That's really cool. Yeah, I love how stuff like that is, you know, possible.
So funny. Yeah.
So, but, all right. So anything
yeah,
else
I think that
to,
pretty much,
to wrap up
weapons across? No, I think that
across.
Covers the majority of our weaponry. I hope people found that interesting. And, you know, if there's any weapons that you can think of, Chakrams was brought up in chat type of thing, that you would like to see in the series, I'd be curious to see if anybody else has any other suggestions of stuff we haven't seen in the series or maybe that I don't even know about that would be cool additions. Because, again, all of this seems there's a lot of room for variety, and if you look at the series as a whole, it's changed so much from what's in one game to another game. So
yeah very cool. All right, well, we're gonna take a quick break and then we'll be back to thank our patrons and the random UESP page. Who knows what we're gonna get today? So don't go anywhere, we will be right back.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
Well, Lotus, thanks for driving this episode. This was super fun to dig into weapons and that kind of stuff. And
thanks everybody who actually had thrown it out to me over the last little bit. It's kind of been like a couple months. I've had a couple times people have suggested it to me. I was like, oh yeah, I definitely would like to cover that. So, as much fun as I had kind of researching it. Thanks for the suggestion. This was a very good one.
Yeah. I mean, it's great for me too, because you're the guy who does a lot of the older games and I'm the guy who hasn't played a lot of those games that much. So it's kind of fun to learn a little bit more about, you know, the early parts of the series from my perspective as well. It's kind of nice to, you know, get an education and not be the one who does the research. So I appreciate it.
Sure.
But real quick, I got to throw this out before we talk about our patrons and all of that. I have a new show that's launching. I've been teasing this for a little bit across some of the different shows that I do, but John from the 40K Lorecast and I are launching Retro Recall. It is a show that's all about the nostalgia of the games that we grew up with. And John and I are old. So it's been like 30 years since we played some of these games, and we're going back and we're playing, like, the first episode is Double Dragon 2, and we're gonna see, like, does Ooh. This hold up? Does this feel like it did when we were kids? You know, that kind of thing. And this is a series that is primarily video. In fact, I've done a lot of work to prep this, to figure out how we want to do the video presentation. Lots of clips of us going back and playing the games and our enjoyment and frustration about it, all sorts of fun stuff. So if you go to Retro Recall on YouTube, you can just search it. There will be links in the description of the show or in the description of this episode. You can go over there. That is launching on the 19th, the first episode. Every 2 weeks, we'll have a new episode out. We'll be going through all these different games, and we'll be taking recommendations from the community. If you want to see us try some old game and see what we think about it again, definitely let us know. It's also going to be up on audio. So you can, if you'd rather just listen to the audio version, you don't need all the visuals. It works just as fine. You just won't be able to see our faces cringe when we have to play terrible things. And part of it is that he makes me play the old games, and then I challenge him to do something in the games, and then the loser has to then spend half an hour playing one of the most terrible games ever released on one of those old consoles. And at the end of the show, you get to witness what that is like in a description about the game and some little clips of us suffering. So
I love this.
That's always fun.
I've been waiting for you to actually announce this, because when you told me about this, I was like, oh, dude, this is...
Oh my God.
I love this. This sounds great.
Yeah, it's cool to go back and play the good ones, but then some of those bad games are so bad. So it's a lot of fun. Retro Recall, go look it up. You can look it up on your podcast app after the 19th once they're live, or just go to the YouTube. Jump on the YouTube. The video is already set up there, so you can hit notify me for when it goes live. You can subscribe. We'd really love to just get a sense of, like, how much interest there is in this type of show. And it's, we're hoping that this will be a community thing. Like, some of you who are interested and love these old games, maybe you'll start picking up some of these and playing along and giving us your insights too in the comments and, you know, on Discord, and letting us know what you think. So that's coming up. It's a big new project, and I hope you all enjoy it. But we got to talk about our patrons. Thank you so much for all of you who support the show. Patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. You can get ad-free episodes. Join us for our patron chats. all sorts of fun stuff. I'm going to be putting new t-shirts up on this shop come the new year at some point. So we're going to cycle in a new year of different shirts that you get if you're one of the shirt tiers, or stickers. You can get stickers at a lower tier. So lots of fun stuff over there. No new patrons this week to shout out, but our Daedric Princes get shout outs every week. Kira C, Hircine, Peter R, and Austin B, thank you for your support. And to all 133 of our paying patrons. That's goodness. Amazing. Thank you so much for continuing to support the show and for being here. And to all of our free patrons, you can join just for free to get little notifications. And you know, Lotus, one of the things I was thinking is like adding just little comments and things on the Patreon feed for like if something's going on or if news comes out and we just want to chime in on it so people can kind of just stay plugged in with some of the things going on, what's going on. I don't know. It's just something to consider, just kind of expanding stuff a little bit.
Yeah.
So we got that. Go check that out. Again, Elder Scrolls on Patreon. And then also we have a new Apple review. If you leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, then we'll read it out on the future episode of the show, like this one from, and for some reason I can't see the full name. There it is. Lore Ketchup is the name. Ketchup as in catch up, not like ketchup, like the condiment.
Like catsup?
Yeah, like, yeah, if you want to pronounce it like that. Is that a New England thing? Do you guys get
it's like a really weird Simpsons joke where it's like, are you here to help me with my ketchup catsup problem?
yeah. Okay, so Lore Ketchup says, a great way to catch up on the lore and make a night at work go by fast. Personally bounce back and forth between Elder Scrolls and Fallout along with Assetto Corsa Competizione, which I think is like Italian, and other racing games, so I can't always keep up with the lore, nor have time to hunt down the in-game lore myself, i.e. the fun way of discovering the lore. The Elder Scrolls and Fallout podcasts have not only been a great way to catch up on the lore so far, but make my work night, the third shift factory life, go by that much quicker. Love the shows. Always looking forward to that notification on my phone that a new episode has released. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to do that, and I'm glad that we can help you get through your work day. I know that that's something before I was fortunate enough to have all of you help support these shows and make this a full-time thing for me, I absolutely listen to podcasts all the time to get through work.
I was going to say that was literally, I mean, I still sort of do, but a little different now, but like for the longest time, that's how I got into podcasting, was listening to just hundreds of podcasts while I would work.
Yes, absolutely. So I totally get it. And I'm so glad that we can give that to our listeners and as a thing to get them through the day, to rather be thinking about Elder Scrolls while they're having to do something else. So thank you so much for taking the time to do that. But Lotus, are you ready for our random UESP page?
Yeah, let's do this.
So I don't think we've had one of these before. This is from Legends. The category is Legends Attributes Agility. So we're talking like card game stuff, right?
So like the card type, the agility, the green type?
Yeah, it says agility is one of the 5 attributes currently present in Legends. The official description is agility creatures prefer to avoid fair fights using poison and precision to take down larger foes, or cover and movement abilities to sneak past them entirely. And then it's an entire page of all of the agility cards.
Yeah, I was going to say,
in Legends.
I'm still scrolling. This makes me sad because love Legends.
I don't know if you can see it in my glass, the reflection. I'm still scrolling. I got to the bottom. That's how long the page is.
Ugh, and Hircine, dagger to the heart.
Yeah.
Currently in quotes present in Legends, because Legends, unfortunately, as most people that played Legends might know, is no longer actually still a game that you can play, which is sad. Legends was the card game. I'm not a big card game person, but I learned to play because, hey, I like the IP, and it turned out that I had a ton of fun with it.
I liked it a lot, but you actually played more than I did.
I really got into it, and I actually thought the stories related to them, and you would just battle with the card battles, were super fun. And funny enough, the reason this agility was one of the card attributes that I liked the most, because it had the pilfer skill, which I liked, where every time you would attack with somebody with the agility pilfer skill, you would basically double whatever you're doing. So if you had a 2-2, it would become a 4-4, and then it would become an 8-8, then it would become a 16-16. So like,
if I was thinking you just stole their money.
Well, it makes a little jingly sound, and it was almost always on Khajiit's.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's been so long since I played, I couldn't tell you what any of the abilities were called or what they did.
It was one of my favorite things. I always really had a lot of fun with that, so I really appreciate this random page, because it's
you never
nostalgia,
know
but
get.
Also makes me sad.
Yeah, it's a big arrow on the symbol. It's a green circle with an arrow, which tracks for our episode. So there you go.
Yep.
I guess that coincides somehow. But there you go. Well, Lotus, thank you for joining me. Chat, thank you for being here. What else do you have going on? I normally we do this before the random page.
Sure.
Share what you got going on with Tails.
We were planning to record again. It's weird. The way news is dropping, we have been recording Tails in a weird pattern to try to keep it useful. Since it's news / stories. And we were kind of on the brink of recording last time, but then we were like, well, it looks like the Writhing Wall event that we had been talking about, they adjusted some of the values and the amount of dailies that would progress the wall. And its inevitable collapse to unlock the other half of the island and let us all continue the story and start these new battles and stuff like that. With it being adjusted last weekend, it looked like, oh, this is going to probably go down this week.
Mm-hmm. So like, you decided to delay. So you had something to talk about when the big thing happened. We're going to
record this week so we can actually include it, because spoilers, while I was at work today, PlayStation NA took down the wall. So suck at everybody who's not on PlayStation. I think everybody's like knocking it down at this point.
I saw some people posting on Reddit about like, how is that possible? Because this other platform was ahead of them. Yes. And like,
I mean, I did go on a bit of a rant, but not like because I thought it mattered, but I'm like, for a brief period of time, Xbox EU was like the fastest. And I'm like, I'm sorry. You cannot convince me more people are playing on Xbox EU than literally anywhere.
They just try harder.
And that was the thing. I was like, maybe there. We did get some feedback where it seemed like actually they do a lot of coordination server wide. Like there, it's like, it's a more organized community. So like, that actually might have had something to do with it. But like, my thought was, if it's just pure volume, I was like, that's just, I mean, the PlayStation alone has like 5 times the sales of the Xbox. I love my Xbox too, but because I've got them both, but I'm like, just numbers say that that's probably not true. But if they're more coordinated in doing something, that would potentially make sense.
Unless,
or if it was scaled based on percentage.
It's scaled, like, right? Like, so if they know they have, you know, X number of players on Xbox and they have X plus whatever number of players on PlayStation, I was a game designer, I would scale it based on the total amount.
Exactly.
I would change
Right. So that was kind of more so that it's like, yeah, but either way, I was going to say, I actually don't know who made it first exactly. I just know that we had it. Shout out to Lukey who posted in our chat that we did it. But yeah, the wall is actually like collapsed, so you can see the other half of the island. So now we can kind of get into it. I want to screw around with it some more, and then hopefully we can record this weekend and get an episode out for everybody discussing all that. And because people enjoy it, we'll be booting up our Elder Scrolls castles once again, because that nice. Is a segment that just real dumb.
Just keeps on real giving. Dumb. Keeps on giving. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, go check out Tales of Tamriel for all that stuff. And then, of course, you can find my other shows, Retro Recall. Go look it up. It'll be up on the 19th and then every 2 weeks. And then also the Fallout Lorecast, all sorts of cool Fallout stuff coming. People are upset a little bit about Fallout 4 breaking some of their stuff, especially on PlayStation with the new update. But I've tried it out on PC. It works okay for me. So
I think not
some people haven't had any issues. There's a big update for Fallout 76 coming next month and season 2 of the show. There's a trailer that just dropped today with some big reveals. That's very cool. And I'm going back through and rewatching season 1 and commenting on a bunch of stuff that I didn't actually get to comment on previously. So cool. You can get my perspectives and some predictions about what's going to happen in season 2 on the Fallout Lorecast. And then, of course, the Lord of the Rings Lorecast. I'm getting real close to ending many episodes about The Hobbit, because Tolkien's work is dense and full of interesting details. And
I feel like, man, that sounds like an insult, but it's really not. Dense is a great way to describe Tolkien's writing.
It is. Yeah, it is. So it is. I don't know. It is some of the best, right? Maybe I'm biased by my love of Tolkien's work, but like the episode I did today was half an hour long, about 3 pages of The Hobbit. So that's how intricately detailed I'm going through the lore. So if you want that, that's going on at the Lord of the Rings Lorecast. But of course, if you start at the beginning, I'm talking about the Silmarillion and like all of that stuff. So lots of fun stuff to tune into. And of course, lots of other shows at robotsradio.net. Lotus, thanks for hanging out. Chat, thanks for being here. And we'll be back next week. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, pick your favorite weapon and You know, or maybe don't pick a different weapon and try something you haven't tried in a while.
Yeah, just make sure to hold it the right way.
Hold it the right way. Get real good at throwing bears at people. All right, we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
See you later.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this. And join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.